This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Brent Bambury, host of Day 6, a news magazine show that serves up a surprising take on the week. On Day 6, you'll get a different perspective on the biggest stories going and find out about other stuff that you might have missed. Get podcasts and more at cbc.ca/day6.
Not everyone will get the chance to visit an actual archaeology dig, but that doesn't mean their avatar can't do it for them. That's the goal of some researchers from the University of New Brunswick. They're creating a virtual world program where students from Southern Labrador can go online and visit a simulated version of the exploration site. It's still a work in progress, but one that Evie Place hopes will be in the classroom in a few years. She's a professor of anthropology and education at the University of New Brunswick, and she's heading up the virtual world project. I reached her at her office at UNB. Evie, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Thanks for taking time with us this morning.
And thank you for your interest.
So tell me, first of all, for people who are not familiar with terms like avatars and virtual world, can you explain what they mean?
Yes, I can. There's a growing interest, I think, in gaming these days, especially amongst youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
Gaming like World of Warcraft, like Second Life. And these are platforms where people can enter a different world and they take on an avatar. And the avatar is almost like an alternative of yourself. You can go into a world, and often people want to acquire things that they wouldn't necessarily be able to acquire or do in the real world. So it's like an alter existence. Virtual worlds work like that in many ways. Gaming is where you build your character and you gain points and you achieve levels through your practice and play in these environments. We don't want to be exactly like that, but that gives an idea of what a virtual world environment and an avatar is like.
Now, you mentioned gaming and these worlds, but they're all like strange and far-fetched to people who play them. I find this intriguing. Archaeologists have been looking into Inuit Métis settlements in southern Labrador for a few years now. So how's this going to work and tie into that?
Well, our virtual world will be, we hope, a lot saner. What we're hoping to do is reconstruct some semblance of a typical Labrador village so that we can put in the buildings and houses that we construct in our virtual world platform, little things like a Labrador Hall of Fame, where you can find out about local people and their activities, where we have a museum. Any of the items that come out of the archaeology digs, you can click on an item and read up a little bit or find out how that item was used or where it was found in an archaeology site. We're hoping, too, that one of the islands in our virtual world platform will be a place where we can reconstruct an archaeology dig. And students, as their avatars, can visit the dig, can visit the site, can find out how a site is conducted and also a little bit more about the items they find in that site.
Okay, so ideally now when this project is completed, paint me a picture. What will this island look like and who will meet there?
It will look more like a virtual world island than a Labrador one, much as we are trying very hard to make it more Labrador-esque. But it will be a little island in the sea, and we can create and build into this island a semblance of an archaeology site or buildings that we might find. One of the teachers we spoke to, Kathy Farrell, is quite interested to recreate Battle Harbour on an island with her students.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of projects that we're looking at, and it will be for students. Either teachers can use Labrador life or lab life as an opportunity for students to explore whilst they're in the classroom. So a group of students after a class on a particular topic or part of a project, they can spend some time as their avatars and visit our Labrador community, our Labrador village.
So why use a virtual world to teach people about these things?
Partly I think it's because I'm working with a very young student. And Will McGrath, as my master's student, his idea was that we should recreate a virtual world in order to post a lot of the information that's coming out of the archaeology that's happening in the Southeast Labrador area and the other historical and ethnographic research that researchers are doing. We're part of a larger team, which is a Community University Research Alliance, or CURA, and our CURA is called Understanding the Past to Build the Future. There are teams of archaeologists, historians, and ethnographers working on this project, which is a five-year project. And Will and I are a small part of this. We are tasked with bringing this information into the schools and classrooms for the Labrador students. And Will's idea was a virtual world. And it's a world that he, as a gamer, is very familiar with. And he thinks it's very appealing to youngsters. And I think that that is the case. And there's another reason, too. Reading up about technologies and virtual worlds and various things that you can do with computers now, it's an increasing and growing world. And it's one of the researchers described it as a kind of tsunami. It's arriving in classrooms. And so we wanted to be just ahead of the game and introduce something that classrooms could use.
You talk about the classroom. How about teachers? Are you hearing anything from them about your idea?
Yes, the whole range, from a passionate desire to get involved and a curiosity to, oh goodness, this is yet something else we have to find out about. So we are hoping by the end of our project that we'll have a very comprehensive handbook to help even the most timid of teachers into using this as a resource. And we have visited schools. We have invited teachers in all of the schools in the area of the research to join us as an avatar and to drop in and visit and to leave comments about what they do or they don't like in terms of what we're doing.
Well, this is different. It'll be the young people teaching the teachers, possibly.
Yes, increasingly so. I think there's a kind of shift. Another researcher online calls it the brick and click. Brick being the classroom, the conventional classroom, and click being the new technology. And we're shifting from the brick to the click.
Now, you mentioned Will and his interest in saying that young people are interested. What about yourself? What kind of vibe are you getting from young people? What are you hearing?
I think it is something that's really very appealing, and that's why we're hoping that more kids will be interested in this research if it's offered in this kind of format. So I think it is the right way to go. But I must add, at the moment, it's experimental. And until we know we have a safe platform or a secure platform, an educational platform, it's not open for kids. So we haven't tested it on kids yet.
When do you hope, then, to have the project completed?
It's a fairly new idea, but a virtual world needs a grid. Most of the grids that are available at the moment are in the public domain, and they're commercial, which means that if anybody visits our Labrador world, they're going to be in an environment which allows them to visit a lot of other experimental regions as well. Several school boards and universities are considering hosting their own grids, which will be for educational purposes only, and that means we'll have firewalls and it's a lot more secure environment for students to visit. And we are hoping this is happening as we speak. We're hoping by the time we've developed our platform, one of those grids will be available for us, and it will be a much more secure environment for students to visit.
So at this point, are people able to visit anything you're doing, or is it in-house?
It's kind of in-house. We have avatars visiting. All of the schools have a teacher representative. We have members of the research team. Anybody else who shows an interest, we invite them to be an avatar. But it's by invitation only at this point.
Well, you've got my interest piqued, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more as time goes by. Evie, thanks so much for this.
Well, thank you very much for your interest.
Evie Place is a professor of anthropology and education at the University of New Brunswick.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.